You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You're listening to the 12 Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my number one good boy, 365 Days Before. Say hi. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
We're joined today by a couple of other good boys. We've got the fellows from Death, / Sentence, a podcast about heavy metal and books and capitalism and culmination of things all in between. How would you describe it, Gareth?
Yeah, I think you got it. It's a podcast for people who like heavy metal music and books, but not podcasts or capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a good descriptor. Yeah. Langdon, also your partner in crime. Langdon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I love Merritt Spau and T-Pain. You may pick up at some point during this episode why exactly that is. Keep your ears open, babies.
Well, here's hoping that doesn't happen. We definitely didn't just record 30 minutes of this show and then have to cut it out.
I went full T-Pain on them, and they could not handle it.
The club was too hot. It was too hot for us.
We had to stop, put all our clothes back on, turn the AC up.
Yeah, we were making love in this club, as T-Pain said, and everybody got really fucking grossed out by that because you're just like banging on a pool table. Like, there was all kinds of weird watery substances around.
Brought a strange vibe to the podcast. We decided not the way the episode should go. So
we're starting over again, and this time we have our thoughts together a little bit better, so we're going to do this a little bit tighter. Fellas, I did your podcast once. You made me read a god-awful book for it.
We're sorry.
Yep.
If you
trigger warning, go back and go into the archives, look for that one. It was a good one.
The book is called Trigger Warning, by the way. That wasn't a crass joke. The book itself is a crass joke on trigger warnings.
Yeah, it's a bad book. It ruined my day having to read that and then to relive it by going over it with you fellas. But since I'm a nice person, I had you fellas on and didn't make you read a bad book. Instead, what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about good things. Because this thing pervades over heavy metal. And that thing is H.P. Lovecraft. This fella from around Jordan's part of the world. He wrote a bunch of books, some unseemly essays, some unfair descriptions of characters with dusky auras. And for some reason, that's been the thing that's been picked up by heavy metal bands as their chief lyrical inspiration. You can go through the archives of some of your favorite bands and see that it's just rife with Lovecraft inspiration. Like off the top of your head, fellas, who you got? Can you name some Lovecraft influenced bands?
Portal, Leviathan. Who else?
Metallica.
Oh yeah, Metallica. There's that band that dropped the record, The Great Old Ones. Yeah.
There's a band just straight up called The Great Old Ones.
Yeah.
So his whole thing with them old guys and the Cthulhus and, various squid-like appendages, it's pervaded metal, and I gotta say, it seems a little lazy given that there are upwards of a dozen other books and authors out there.
That is true. There's at least 12.
I can think of, I don't want to, steal the spotlight here and name multiple authors.
Every author.
But I'm sure
there's
exist.
There's Tom Clancy, John Grisham, Stephen King.
There's James Patterson, don't forget him.
Yeah, I've only been to bookstores or in airports, so these are my touchstones. Yeah.
There's Patricia Cornwall.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
There's the Bill O'Reilly, he writes a lot of books.
He does write books.
Killing Lincoln and Killing Hitler and killing JFK. He kills a lot of people.
There's Jesus. We can't forget Jesus.
Yeah.
Best-selling author.
I read one of his books once. Wasn't a fan. I was forced to read one of his books once for many years and was not a fan.
Surprise ending.
When he comes back with the double-barreled shotgun, it's a pretty wild ending. So you know, there's also that fella, J.R.R. Tolkien, who shared a few traits with Lovecraft, and that he was also wildly racist.
I don't know about wildly. I think people overstate it with Tolkien, but that's a whole other thing.
He's a quaint British racist, so I'm going to disagree with Gareth, just as racist as the other guy. It's like, it's not polite to talk about how much I hate black people and Arabs, so I'm just going to lightly refer to it.
Yeah, that polite colonialism versus the outright American racism, that's the thing
that
separates.
They like the fruits of slavery, but they don't want to see it.
Yeah, what was it? The sun never sets on the British Empire. Is that a cool thing that you guys like to say, Gareth?
Oh yeah, we say it all the time. Yeah,
it's how they greet each other in the morning.
They say it mournfully now, though, on account of the sun actually can set on the British Empire.
Yeah, and soon the sun will set on Britain itself, because we're going to do Brexit later this month.
Tight.
And it's going to be great. I've got a pantry full of rice now. Just so I can live for a few more weeks.
I've heard they're holding on to Pringles cans now in case Brexit happens and you can't get Pringles anymore.
Yeah, everyone's buying up medicine. Everyone's buying up tons of medicine now. Yeah, it's going to be really crazy, but going to get a lot of good posts out of it.
That sounds crazy in the bad way.
It's
a bad way anymore.
I read newspapers. I know things. Are they also banning porno in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it's going to be great because at the exact time that we're not going to have like food or medicine or garbage pickup, we're also going to have no porn.
So we're gonna have, that's a recipe for a dystopia. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a powder keg, and they're making it, and it's going to be great. You can still get porn if you like go to. Like a corner store, like a convenience store. Like
oh, so you have to do the regular trench coat wearing pervert thing.
Yeah, you have to like go up to your local corner store, like someone you see like every other day, buying milk or bread or whatever, and say like, "Hey, I need a porno pass, please. Can you give me a pass for porn? I like to jack off my penis while looking at humans doing things. I touch my human penis and make it." Do a milk on things. I
release my juice now, please. Yeah.
The Germans also, are going to fly over and drop porno off for you, like porno care packages over the wall.
Yeah, that would be
real American humanitarian aid.
Like drop some, just like a hustler on Britain. That'd be fine. That'd be really good.
I'm just imagining a riot of a bunch of. Proper gentlemen with bowler hats and nice mustaches murdering each other to get to a couple of pages of this ratty ass porno.
Yeah.
The jugs are here. Go.
Like just the banded porno that hobos put there. It's going to be, that's going to be my Mad Max.
You know, really, I think there is an untapped market in heavy metal for discussing the porno wasteland that the post-Brexit England will become.
Sounds very thrash metal.
I mean, Godflesh could also do it.
Yeah, I think Godflesh have kind of plumbed the depths of post-industrial Britain. But post-porn Britain is going to be a new thing. When no one can jack anymore.
Take that, Bruce Dickinson, with your bad Brexit opinions. This will finally get to you. You're an old white man. You definitely love pornography.
He just has a closet full of stuff. Come on.
That's true. Prepared. He's rich.
He has a porno bunker somewhere.
Yeah, I've been like buying up rice and he's probably bought up like tons of like fleshlights and just like DVDs and stuff. Things that no one ever buys anymore because we all just get porno from the internet.
DVDs of people using fleshlights because he a freak like that.
The man with porno DVDs is going to be king of Britain.
Yeah.
That's what you should invest in, not gold or silver porn.
You know, I'm going to be honest, that is unfortunately a really good novel idea.
Well, when you make your first million...
Wasn't there an episode of South Park about that, though?
Alright, I'm canceling this idea. Yeah,
yeah. It was an episode of South Park. You can't,
I haven't watched South Park in about 15 years, so...
I recognize the name, and when I recognize it, it fills me with shame. Yeah.
I cannot believe they're still making that. I mean, what are people doing?
They can make metal records about how South Park needs to quit. And strangely enough, The Simpsons doesn't need to quit. I've become strangely endeared to how it just won't die, despite never being good again.
I don't think I want to live in a world without The Simpsons, though, to be honest.
I feel the same. It's like a pillar holding the earth up.
It's our family, in a weird way.
Right?
I don't know.
It's like
I
your
saw,
shitty uncle.
I saw the headline yesterday that in a new episode, Bart is going to be an esports pro, which means he's going to drop a slur on The Simpsons.
Yeah, cancelled.
Look, okay, I'm filled with a kind of broiling, subliminal hatred and nihilism towards the state of the earth. And The Simpsons making Bart an e-boy, I think, is the only thing that can fit my crooked heart.
And I'm filled with semen that's not going to go anywhere because I got no pawns. So.
That's true. Semen's
going to
back up into
his teapot rumbling.
Anyway, what were we talking about books moment. At some point?
Yeah, something about in between.
Wait, I want to go back to Gareth Seaman for a minute. he's gonna turn bright red, and then a pimple is gonna form, and it's gonna burst, but it's gonna be filled with semen, and it's gonna fire off like steam from a tea kettle.
Was that and also a Lovecraft short story?
It should have been. No, that sounds Junji like a Cronenberg.
The Doom over Splooge Hook, I think it's called.
Yeah, Junji Ito would definitely write his sequel to Grease. It would be called Come.
Well, in just one sentence, you guys mentioned two artists that I think that are very relevant to the aesthetics of metal that are maybe not as represented as well. Of course, Junji Ito, who we had... we had a series on the show with on the blog that Ben Cerna Gray had written, going through some of his works, and then of course David Cronenberg, who is all about penis appendages exploding.
Yeah, and hands turning into guns after you put a VCR tape into your chest.
The only good thing that James Woods has ever done with his life.
Yep.
But instead, we keep going back to this this strange turn of the century type fella who had issues with women and issues with other races.
Issue was he wanted literally all of them to die and for a very tiny percentage of humanity to still be alive.
Yeah, it's a pretty specific issue, yeah.
Which I guess now that you say it in that way, it makes a lot of sense that it would fit the worldview of a lot of specifically white metal dudes.
Yeah.
There is such an element of social Darwinism within metal where all of these fat nerds with bullet belts think that, they'll probably be okay. Which I guess is my main issue with the death metal underground, but that's neither here nor there.
They can't run a mile, but they're the physical specimen that they are today, and nothing can defeat them.
Exactly, exactly. We had briefly mentioned it on the aborted version of the podcast, but H.P. Lovecraft was BFFs, best homies, with, was it Howard? What was his first name? Clint? Clint Howard? Is that it?
Robert E. Howard was it?
Oh, that's the fella. Who had written all them Conan stories, another strain of metal, the entirety of power metal, which is the male barbarian power fantasy.
And one of the best Electric Wizard songs, I Barbarian. that song is so good. I mean, well, most Electric Wizard songs are so amazing, but yeah, I Barbarian just blows and rests away.
So these two guys kind of were weird shut-ins, lived with their moms, and were stricken with grief when their respective mothers died. I believe Howard killed himself when his mother died. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah. I know Lovecraft went downhill very, very quickly and in a pretty spectacular way. But, Howard, I think, yeah, he did kill himself. I think it was around that time, so probably, yeah.
So, between these fellas, you got a huge hierarchy of metal inspiration built up. And that's cool, and that's good, and these are things that we have done in the past, and, you know, I guess we could keep repeating the same thing endlessly, as a lot of metalheads would be more than happy to do, to recycle the same riffs and the same lyrical inspirations. But maybe, I'm just throwing it out there, you guys have read a book or two, are there some other inspirations that folks could take instead of, rewriting the Call of Cthulhu?
I got a few ideas. I mean, yeah, Junji Ito would be a good start. He's a comics writer, not a novelist, but his stuff is gross body horror. I think most metal fans would be totally into that. And the other one I thought of was Thomas Ligotti. I think he's not too far away from what most of the more depressive, suicidal black metal kind of guys believe anyway. So he is a horror novelist, and he's also an anti-natalist. So he believes that humanity and being born has a negative value, as in it is a mistake to even have been born. He got re-ripped off for True Detective. I think he was trying to like sue the guy who wrote True Detective for ripping off a bunch of his ideas, except these ideas have been around forever and he's not in any way original. But he's very depressed, and according to one interview I read, he's depressed because he has irritable bowel syndrome.
That'll do it.
After 30, a lot of men, you know, suffer from the pains of IBS, and he's his IBS is apparently so bad that he thinks all humanity is a mistake, and he writes books about that, and that are apparently really good horror novels anyway.
Has he considered switching to a vegan diet, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe going keto. It's all... there's a lot of options for him, but no, he would rather that all humanity dies.
What are some notable books from Ligotti? I'm not totally familiar with the guy.
Okay, Teatro Grotesco. I don't even know if that's the correct Italian or Latin.
Hey, I'm a Teatro Discassino over here. Yeah. Is how it's pronounced.
That's right. You respect the Teatro. That was one of his books of short stories people like. There was another one called Conspiracy Against the Human Race. There was a book of, I think that was a Leviathan album, too.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Fuck you, Jeff Whitehead, as well.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And I think it was Conspiracy Against the Human Race was his book as well. And that's his manifesto on antinatalism. And I'm sure a lot of depressive, suicidal black metal musicians would find a lot in there. You could easily get a good intro for your song, spoken word bits out of there. You get a lot of stuff out of that.
I like most people that I guess have seen it really, really, really loved True Detective Season 1. Though I would argue that a lot of people maybe get the wrong message from it, and they look at Russ and Cole as some kind of anti-hero instead of what he is, which is a horrifically deranged man.
Yeah. They also ripped off a big passage of dialogue from Alan Moore. And I don't think Alan Moore sued about that, but he very well could have, because they just like repeated a bunch of his comic stuff verbatim, which isn't cool. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't care if you cancel me. It's not cool to copy people.
I think with the Alan Moore thing, too, I went back and I rewatched Watchmen, that big bloated superhero movie that came out about a decade ago. I hadn't seen it since it was in the theater. And I remembered a lot of people took the wrong message from that movie as well, in which you have Rorschach as a deranged human, and then people put it on him like, oh, he's the hero of this movie.
It's like, no, he's clearly bad. And they're like, no, well, I like him. You're like, that's different. That's different than someone being good. Those aren't the same.
Good people in that movie, in movie and comic. That's the thing. There's either... Like, the best guy is Owl Man.
Night Owl.
Night Owl. And, he's just kind of
kind there. Of
a cuck.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's a total cuck in that in the movie at least. I haven't read the comic book in many years.
It's pretty similar. I think people don't, because the ending changed. I think people think it's more different from the comic than it is. And
yeah, all they really did was change the inflection on. I have more positive things to say about the Watchmen movie than I think most people do.
You know, I was sitting there watching it and enjoying it, and it reminded me, like, oh yeah, I mean, this weird who was it Snyder that
yeah, Zack Snyder, yeah,
who has also an incredibly dim view of humanity.
He's a bad person. Yeah,
I kind of had to pause myself while watching, and I'm like, oh no, I'm nodding my head along with this anti-human shit.
I mean, in fairness, humans are the ones that are driving the Earth to a cataclysmic climate death. So technically, it's not wrong.
Okay, but hashtag not all humans.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that gives the right tenor to it. Hashtag not all humans.
I mean, we're certainly guilty. Like, we're bad. But not everybody is as bad.
That's true. They're the Aborigines, not bad people.
Yeah.
They're not killing the Earth with climate death.
Yeah, basically all the people that the United States and the British Empire subjugated, they were okay.
Yeah, they're well, I mean, they had their issues, but their issues separate from colonial violence.
Yeah,
there were internal violence. Let's do Earth the dignity of acknowledging that violent acts from man to man have existed prior to colonialism as well.
That's fair.
Colonialism was just the big one-upping of it. It's like they looked at it and went, let's do that, but it's going to be so much worse.
So we got Ligotti. Who else springs to mind?
Eugene Thacker, I think, is a strong one.
Definitely.
And even like the group Locrian already pulls from him a decent bit.
Who is this fella? What's he do? What's his thing?
So his most approachable work is also his worst, and it's the Horror of Philosophy series. And when I say it's his worst, it's like you read it and you're like, oh, this is some pretty interesting stuff. It's just not, you know, galaxy brain. But he expands from there to having lots and lots of like avant-garde literature, like An Ideal for Living, which is a pretty fucking wild book. That is an incredibly wild post-nihilist experimental novel. He has a book called Infinite Resignation, which is basically the contemporary post-nihilist like book. If Ligotti is the more approachable post-nihilist and contemporary pessimist guy, then Thacker is like the one that people actually respect.
So what does this mean, post-nihilism?
So to break down my fancy brain words that I spent way, way too much money learning, if nihilism is more a perspective shift that someone goes through, it's not really a philosophy. Like, anyone who tries to build it as a philosophy is kind of pulling your chain. It's more the moment that you recognize nothing has an inherent meaning. There's no inherent value to human life or to life on Earth or to society having order, things like that. Post-nihilism would be anything that follows. Technically, it's anything that follows. So that's where you get existential thoughts like, you know, we can build meaning. Marxism is, and its focus on materialism is also a post-nihilist thought, where it's like there's no inherent value to these things, but we can construct notions of value that we can work with. And then by choosing to invest in those ideologies, we can make them actionable in some way. post-nihilism, just as a general term, when it's made into a specific thing, tries to hold all of those notions at an arm's distance and go, yeah, but we can't forget the this really spooky thing that we're all terrified of. And just because we're terrified of the notion of an ultimate lack of meaning, even if we achieve a Marxist future, doesn't mean we shouldn't keep it in mind. That's just ignoring a scary truth, and that's not a good idea.
Oh, I kind of like that idea of ignoring the scary truth. That's more up my alley.
That's fair, because most of these people also focus on humanity as a kind of cowardice.
What do you mean by that?
That we are naturally ill-equipped to grapple with those greater, more destructive questions. Like Eugene Thacker fixates a bit on that it's easy and calming to think about growing, say, the realm of the sciences, the realm of medicine, the realm of social safety. And it's not bad to do that. But we also are aware that, say, within mathematics, we found mathematical proofs that the very numbers we work with are the vast, nearly infinitesimal minority of total numbers that exist, which is a weird abstract thought, but we don't have mathematical definitions for most things that would constitute numbers. This is paralleled a little bit by the dark matter problem in astrophysics, where in order for most of our physics models to work, there needs to be a certain amount of matter in the universe that we just don't see. And we assume that we just don't know how to detect it. It's going to be like the Higgs boson or something, where we're going to figure out how to see it someday, or maybe we never will, but it is there. Likewise, the visible universe is very likely not the entire universe. So there's a whole chunk that literally we can't see. It's not that we haven't seen it yet. It's that there's no way to see it, because it's simply too far away. Likewise, you know, we can calm ourselves with notions of pre-birth and post-death. But part of what drives even Marxism and socialism is a resolute terror of death. That we look at the suffering of humanity and, you know, the early termination of life and resolutely say, no, that's horrible, and reject it. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it is based around terror in some way.
Well, yeah. I've always said that life is terror. You know, you can quote me on that.
Yeah. And so he just sort of goes like, it's similar to the thought that the Buddha had, and that even most religion structures itself around this thought as well, that it can be destructive to overly fixate on those like annihilatingly large thoughts.
Hell yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, they will paralyze and destroy you. But also they, when implemented in the right dosage, offer a perspectivism to what's happening that can de-stress environments and make things a little bit easier to grapple with.
So your Thackers and your Ligottis, do you think that they, like, you know, wake up early on a Sunday and maybe, like, have a cup of coffee and enjoy some eggs and just generally have a good day? Or are they constantly grappling with internal turmoil?
Well, I mean, Ligotti's constantly grappling in internal turmoil through IBS.
Right.
And he'll probably never have coffee because that's terrible.
Oh, true.
Right. Yeah, he's shitting himself every day.
Yeah. He's shit and fard. And
gonna shit yourself. But, shit yourself and cum.
Anyway, but I don't know about these guys' lives, but I'm guessing probably not. I'm guessing, you know, they've both got like jobs as writers. You know, they're both doing the thing they want to do. I think Eugene Thacker might even teach somewhere.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
and that it's a weird perceptive thing. A lot of the people who get into, and this is also a perceptive thing about philosophers in general, is that they're not, you don't become a philosopher because you're pretentious, which is a weird thing to think, except no one respects philosophers. Like, you don't, like, the presumption that they're being pretentious by pursuing these things presumes that there is a social capital to being a philosopher, when literally, if you ask a random person about a philosopher, they say they're a pretentious dipshit. No one respects them. Like, there isn't. It's sort of like metal elitists as this, like, fake scapegoat that we get mad at. They don't have social power. No one's going out of their way to cater to metal elitists or to ask them what they think. No one actually likes them. To the point where fixating on, like, they're ruining things. Be like, no, no one respects them already. Like, you don't have to worry about that.
So, in a way, philosophy is a lot like podcasting.
Yeah, they do it. Honestly, because it gives them a sense of joy to pursue these thoughts and develop them and riff on them. That's where sometimes we also see people talking about, like, oh, well, you know, they offer too many barriers of entry and they gatekeep it, which, to be fair, is true to a degree. That's definitely true to a degree. But another part is they're speaking in a language that they can communicate with each other in. And also, it presumes that sometimes the effusive language or very evasive language is deliberate, as opposed to they're thinking a thought and attempting to put that thought into words at the same time. And sometimes the wording takes second stage to the thinking. And that's like there's a lineage of people where, like, not the first, but maybe the second or third person writing about an idea will be the one to write about it in approachable terms. Like, a similar thing is, have you read The Capital? That book is by Karl Marx.
Briefly. I didn't make it all the way through.
Exactly. Meanwhile, all of us here are at least conversant in the ideas there, because other people were like, okay, my skill set is I can read real good and write pretty good. Maybe I'm not so great at the thinking part, but that's fine. Carl did the thinking. I'll do the writing.
What exactly did Engels do?
I don't know. I feel like a fake Marxist. I'm a fake woke because I don't know what he did. I know that he was an organizer a lot.
I think we need to watch the Chinese Marx anime. I think that's straight. I don't like. Engels is from Manchester, where I live. I have no idea what exactly his contribution was.
Oh, so he's a Brummie then, yeah.
Fuck off. Kick your ass, seriously. Right. I know Engels wrote a bunch of his stuff solo, and some of it was good. We need to watch the Marx anime, I think.
Absolutely. That's 100%.
Jordan, how appealing is a anime about Karl Marx to you?
Just as appealing as Karl Marx himself.
So very, very animated. very, very appealing. Got it. Yes.
I mean, like, for most of us, I guess, there's no, you know, this was a guy writing shit in the 1800s. There's no, like, real life thing that would connect you to these ideas other than, I don't know, tankies putting up memes. And yet a lot of these ideas have persisted, just synthesized through different thinkers and different writers.
Yeah. And that's as much as so this gets back to one of my favorite boys. More metal writers, like lyricists, need to tap into Nietzsche, but in the good way. There's the bad way. We've all seen the bad way. We all know what that one is. I don't even have to elaborate too much. The angsty kid, and he's like, God is dead. And it's like, okay, man, yeah, sure. Your 15th birthday coming up soon? I could get you a bike if you want. You still like bikes? I could get you a trench coat. Actually, no, on second thought, I'm not going to get you a trench coat. That's riding a dangerous line. But then you get more, you sometimes get people like Isan, who seems to have actually read Nietzsche and read a book explaining what he just read and has a pretty good grasp on it. Like he wrote Eremita is loosely based on Thus Spoke Zarathustra. And I bring him up partly because he has So the notion of intellectual synthesis comes a lot from Hegel, at least as we handle it now. And Nietzsche was a big critic of Hegel, where he was like, sometimes you're not synthesizing an idea. Sometimes you are inventing it. And we must strive not only to synthesize, but also to invent some shit. And that's, baby, that's memes. That's meme Marxism. It sucks, but also it's seen one of the largest spreads of socialist ideology in the first world, literally in like four decades. Which is dumb, but we're dumb. So it works.
No, I'm dumb as shit. I don't know anything about like Hegelian, what is it? What is the word for it?
Dialectics.
I don't know what either of those fucking words means, and yet I've read them hundreds of times.
Right? And that's it. It sucks, but what we have to grapple with, and this is where Thacker and Ligotti are united, is that everything fucking sucks, and not in the cheesy way. It's like the dumb thing. No, that's the one that's going to work. Don't get too clever, baby. That whole keep it simple, stupid thing is because reality is stupid.
So do you think maybe this ties into why bands are so committed to going back to the same well, that maybe the familiar is much more comfortable to explore than maybe some of these bigger, more painful issues?
Yeah, I think that's definitely also where we see a lot of cookie cutter. So as much as all of us here love extreme metal, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't love it. There's a lot of cookie cutter, like if you're making second wave sounding black metal in 2019, I don't know what you're doing. Like, and those are great sounds, they put out lots of great records, but like there's other stuff to do. And that's not even to say that we can't go back, and you know, it's like trad metal had a revival relatively recently. It's putting out great records. Like Haunt is a great band. Death metal is having a flourishing of sounding like the kind of weird Finnish death metal of the early 90s, where it's not quite the totally no frills stuff. It's got that weird fringe to it. It's only techie because they don't know what they're doing. But yeah, we see these very cookie cutter moves that ignore that one of the things that makes metal move is not just the intense negative emotions that sometimes it feeds off of in a really like joyful over the top way, but also that like slight psychedelic edge. I think that's part of what people grab onto is something like Lovecraft or even Lord of the Rings in certain ways, is it's the sort of lurid dark psychedelia. Spiritual writing like the Bible is like a bad acid freakout.
In some parts.
I think that's like another area that like metal lyricists should look into. I don't mean like psychedelia, like, you know, the electric Kool-Aid acid test or shit like that. But there's like, I'm thinking of people like the comic writer Grant Morrison, who keeps coming up on our show for some reason.
Yep.
A book Langdon actually turned me on to called Sisyphean by a guy called Denpao Torishima, which is like psychedelic body horror, like post sci-fi. It's just, yeah, it's absolutely both disgusting and nightmarish, and also like weirdly celebratory and really kind of light in places. It's very amazing. I think like I'm looking into like the psychedelic experience as it actually is, rather than the like the 60s side of things, could produce some really interesting stuff.
Like the notion of perceptual breakdown, that the very way that you interpret time, color, the boundaries of objects, the boundaries of your own psyche are so tightly girded by the chemical balance of your brain, and that's it. And how fragile that is, and how easily disrupted it is, and how, with even a slight disruption, you perceive the world in a radically different way. Is a really fertile place to go to, and unfortunately only people who like hula hoops way too much seem to go there.
Well, it's tough to elaborate upon the work of the Who's pinball wizard, you know?
That's true.
One of the great, great, great writers and philosophers of recent years are Mark Fisher. He was working on a book called Acid Communism when he died. And he was kind of like trying to like redeem the 60s almost, but also like redo the 60s, but better and more amazing than it ever was. And he's just had a book of like his blog writing and the intro to Acid Communism come out. And that's he's a brilliant cultural critic. And just a very smart writer. And also like that idea of like redoing the 60s, but getting it right this time. You know, maybe people could be looking into that. Like these bands like, what are they called? Devil Master and people like that. They're kind of doing this like 80s thrashy thing, but maybe like go all the way back to like proto heavy metal, like Bad Acid Trip kind of stuff. And just redo that for today.
That's an interesting idea. I mean, Devil Master, you know, kicks ass, of course. And I'm thinking now of like some of the 60s, they called it freak out music at the time, which was like a predecessor to noise and, you know, heavy metal and all kinds of things. I wrote a post on the blog forever ago about the first quote unquote black metal band. Which was this 60s act that was just doing the most extreme screeching vocals with like bagpipes and shit in the background. So there were people making strides for things, you know, just of course, you know, can't quite catch on. And now you have, God, what is the fucking movie coming out that's about what if the Beatles never existed? And of course,
I don't know what.
The answer is so the Beatles, the idea behind the movie is the Beatles, everyone forgets about them, as we're prone to do. You know, you never remember the Beatles. They're not absolutely everywhere. And this one fucking guy remembers all these songs, and so he starts playing them for people, and he's like a worldwide phenomenon. Like somehow these terrible fucking songs from the 60s would make a dent today in this current era and not just be some insufferable open mic guy.
Yeah, so what, he just like plays Yellow Submarine and people are really into it?
Yeah.
I watched the trailer the other day. Strangely enough, hot take, it looks interesting to me.
I'd rather
they premise it as a supernatural event causes everyone to forget the Beatles ever existed except this one guy.
And one motherfucker has to terminate the world with it.
So he's just playing these songs from memory and he becomes a world conquering success because he happens to remember not even all, but just a good chunk of songs by the Beatles. And there's some comedic bits where he's like invited on the late night TV shows and asked to compose a song on the spot. And so he just plays a Beatles song he's never played before. And they're like, oh, my God.
Jordan, you want to see that one?
No.
I'm stupid, though. So my idea of a good film, I watch about maybe two movies a year. They're normally kung fu films because those films are just tighter than other movies. People are like, why won't you go see the Captain Marvel? And I'm like, no haunted swords, no blessed swords either. And that's basically what I'm into films for. Different kinds of swords. Meanwhile, Sword Brothers. Incredible.
What is Sword Brothers?
I don't remember any of the plot, but there's choreographed sword fighting.
Hmm. And there's brothers, apparently.
I think there's also a film called either Ice Warrior or like Iceman. It was a relatively recent movie where an ancient Chinese sword master gets frozen in ice and then is unfrozen in the modern day.
So
and
it's only Encino Man.
Yeah, except with Kung Fu. And only he can do the high wire flying stuff. And so everyone's like legit freaked out when he does it.
So it's like the Beatles movie, but with like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, that's very tight.
That's what I want to see.
I'll go out and say that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is the greatest film of all time. And if all film was erased except that one, that would be fine. Because people like David Lynch way too much. I like him, but people like him way too much, if you know what I mean. Like it's like they've never seen other movies. They've only seen David Lynch. Meanwhile, no swords in his movies, no sword fights, no kung fu. How can you call it good?
It's a fair point. Lynch, think about that. He hadn't done a movie in a long-ass time, so maybe he can come back with something that meets your demands.
That's true.
He's been doing nude photography lately.
Are you kidding?
So, I'm not even going to be able to see because of the Brexit.
Oh, is it
portable?
Self-portraits, or is he taking
it's like hot people.
Oh, that's disappointing.
He's taking a picture of his own dick and just posting it, and David Lynch fans are like, amazing. It's like, do you guys have a really wet brain? You guys got a soaking wet one?
But no, I that makes sense. He's an old ass man who's rich and famous. I would probably do the exact same. Be creepy and old and rich. So there is like the element of I've seen bands take inspiration from David Lynch and by an extension other I guess quote unquote psychedelic film auteurs like Jodorowsky. I remember that I think it was Mammoth Grinder, one of their early videos was just clips spliced together from The Holy Mountain, which was fucking tight. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I think
people don't like that movie because it's gibberish, but that's stupid. That's why you should like it. Anyone who tries to tell you that shit makes sense is also lying to you or too fucking high, but very dope.
Well, at the end of the movie, he's even like, this was nonsense.
The titties as jaguars, amazing. Mm-hmm. And milk comes out of them even still. That's commitment.
What are some other maybe, I don't know, because we've talked quite a bit now today about, you know, the terror of being alive and the inherent meaninglessness of everything. Is there maybe something more accessible that folks could try to glom onto?
Anime. No.
actually, anime, yeah. There was a band that put out an album about Neon Genesis Evangelion, so, you know, they're cool.
Discordance Axis, yeah, that record was fucking tight, too.
There was another one. There was like a recent, it was kind of like a metalcore kind of emo-core one. It came out recently.
You're riding the line of some bullshit there with that metalcore. Fun how metalcore sometimes means converge and sometimes means all that remains, and that's why I don't fucking trust that.
Yeah, I'm tempted to mute you both at the moment with anime and metalcore at the same time.
we're really testing him.
Jordan, what do you think? What could somebody grab on that they haven't done yet?
In terms of like themes for albums?
Yeah.
Sports.
Interesting.
Yo.
You know, there was a bit of a 10-yard fight, and who is
I know Propagandhi has some like hockey related sort of songs, but I don't think anyone's really just dug into sports because it's a multi-trillion dollar business across the world. Like everyone knows what baseball is, even if baseball isn't popular in your country, or football, aka soccer. Why the hell not? Why don't we have a death metal soccer band?
Right? Go the Raven route. Raven even got some minor fame in the 80s doing sports-themed heavy metal.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And they play heavy metal at sporting events anyway. I was at one not that long ago, and they're playing Mastodon and Metallica and Prodigy. Why not have an official sports band?
To be fair, that one time that Megadeth did a hockey song, it was one of the worst things I've ever heard. So that's I think Megadeth. Maybe people are scared.
Prince also did a song for the Minnesota Vikings, so it doesn't even have to be metal.
That's true.
Whatever, pop, rap. So why not?
My friend made a playlist of he tried to find a rap song for every NFL sports team. We listened through it and it was fun because it was obvious like better teams had better rappers.
Yes.
The Saints, in my opinion, had the best song because it, you know, had elements of like horns and like a drum line and everything like that. And then you had like Cleveland, and it was just, oh, this sucks.
Just like a white guy mumbling into a microphone.
Yeah, pretty much. So the rappers are onto this, and especially from the money making angle of like, well, you got a built in fan base. Why not try to angle in on that? But I like the idea of just general sports, not even necessarily a team or a given game, just the concept. We're playing, yeah. And we're having fun.
They could have a song. You go the Andrew WK route, like have a song called Sports Are Fun.
Yeah, I like that.
Sport all the time.
Competition is good. Let's have a clean game.
Go Everyone teams. Gets a trophy.
Thrilling touchdown. Thrilling touchdown.
See, I can imagine like a Japanese hardcore band putting together a song called Thrilling Touchdown, and I want to hear it. I hear how it sounds in my head, and I want that
right?
made.
I hear it now, too.
I want a New York hardcore band that's all about tennis and have them called Forehand Smash.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
related thing. How come hardcore kids call any metal band they like a hardcore band? Sometimes they are hardcore bands, but I'll be fucked if Harm's Way is not a metal band right now and has been for the past like three records.
Yeah, it's tough with that one specifically because you have all the trappings of hardcore within your metal sound. James Pleggy is he's a bear of a man. He is
literally a giant bear.
He's got X's on his hands. He is beautiful and chiseled.
It's the hardcore attitude with a more metal leaning sound.
Yeah,
it's not even metal leaning. Like Posthuman, it just is an industrial metal album.
It's tough to take away the image. I mean, I see James, and I think sports. I don't think Godflesh.
That's fair.
But yeah, this is a phenomenon that's been going on for a while. Zabalba, the U.S. Zabalba, not the, the Mexican one. They are a death metal band that is specifically called hardcore.
Yes, that is. They just straight up are making a Swedish sounding HM2 death metal. That's when they're like, yeah, I make HM2. Well, no one says they make HM2 core. But it's like, dog, that's just death metal. That's literally what death metal is. Like, you've just described the process of writing a death metal track. And you're like, nah, but we're a hardcore band. Yeah. Like, that's not how that works.
Because, you know, they're like sipping 40s and shit. They're not like, wearing bullet belts.
Yeah, but like if I make a techno track, I can't call it like horrorcore. That's just incorrect. That's just I'm lying to you.
Well, Gareth can answer this because the UK was just rotten with all kinds of different strains of terrible techno for years. I'm sure that horrorcore is one version of that.
There's a strand of techno called terrorcore.
That's it.
Yeah, horrorcore is a rap subgenre.
Yeah. That was my point, is that you can't. Yeah.
Well, you see, mate, it's like a version of terrorcore, but it's scary. It's horrorcore.
Okay, don't imitate my voice. Something really mature. That's not okay.
Yeah, Gareth is actually a gabber.
That would be tight if Gareth got way into gabber, and every time that I suggested a new metal track for the podcast, he's like, "It's gonna be gabber again," and I'm like, thankfully, okay. I also like gabber.
One, gabber is a scene rife with Nazis.
What?
It's one of those weird scenes that has like tons of Nazis in it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And two, Atari Teenage Riot were very influenced by gabber, so, and they're the greatest band of all time, so, you know, that's so gabber is good, actually, but also bad. Because
I am very much into Atari Teenage Riot.
Thank you, yeah. They need to come back. They need to be like we've had like a industrial revival with bands like Uniform and Street Sects. We need a digital hardcore revival in 2019?
I'm gonna say something a little bit different. We don't need that. We just need more people to go back and just hard rep Atari Teenage Riot. It just needs to be like this wave for like 2 or 3 years where no one stops talking about that record.
Yeah, but it's so bad. That's the thing. Are you talking about the first Atari Teenage Riot or Atari Teenage Riot 2? Because 2 was okay. They're both really bad. If you go back and listen to them right now, they don't stand up at all. I guarantee this. I love them. I have t-shirts and hoodies, and I bought their records even though I didn't have a record player. But doesn't stand up nowadays. That's why we need to redo it. It's another thing like the 60s Mark Fisher acid communism thing. We need to get Atari Teenage Riot right this time.
Someone on a Facebook group that I'm part of said that death metal is the least innovative metal genre of all, and that's why it's the worst one. And I don't think I've ever been angrier in my whole life.
Were you not angrier when you got kicked out of your own fan club?
To be fair, that was because I was posting way too hard. That was a point of pride.
Incredible. Incredible stuff.
That's the most drill thing you could possibly do.
Where does your fan club live?
There is a... So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll note that I tweet out whenever I'm listening to death metal.
God damn it, you invited me to that fucking group. Fuck.
Yep. And I have a column now on Invisible Oranges called I'm Listening to Death Metal, where I write smart brain words about death metal. Some friends of mine started a Facebook group called I'm Listening to Death Metal and invited me to it. And I posted way too hard about death metal. Also, I posted Manowar a handful of times.
Well, that'll do it. I would ban you.
And they were like, you got to stop. And I was like, I'm not going to stop.
What is it about?
You can't tell me how to. What is it about? You can't tell me how to death metal post.
Something about Manowar just brings out the most insufferable parts of people, and I don't quite grasp it.
It sucks that their guitarist is a piece of shit and should have his head cut off with sword. Bad man. I'll let people at home Google that. But their music's fucking tight. It sounds like buying a motorcycle because you're 39. They opened their first album with the sound of a revving motorcycle. They thought, this is our grand introduction to the world. What's the first thing we want people to hear on the very first Manowar record to really tell them what we're about? And it's the sound of a motorcycle.
There you have it. All right, folks. We should probably find some way to tie this show together. Let's go ahead and do this Joe McLaughlin group. Gareth, what do you got?
Mm-hmm. You what?
What do you got? Hot take.
You
right
want
now.
Me? Hot take? Okay. Oh, God. Everyone else do one. I can't think of anything. Oh, God.
Your time's up. Langdon, what do you got?
Death metal, best music, all time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jordan, are books good or bad? What do you think?
Bad. Don't read. Reading is for suckers.
What was the last book you read?
That's going to be my one.
The last book I read was Nathan Gray from Boy Sets Fire, his biography, or autobiography.
Was it good?
Yeah. Learned a lot. Didn't know some things about him, and it made me appreciate the music more.
Good answer. Gareth.
Okay. Okay, hot take. Most books are bad. Good books are worse than average movies. Most video games are better than most movies.
Interesting.
That is a weird hot take.
I want you to elaborate on this. What is an example of a good video game?
Oh, God. There's so many. Virtually all of them are brilliant. Okay, I've been playing nothing but Amazing Spider-Man. No, is it just called Spider-Man? I think the Spider-Man game just came out. Yeah, the PS4 one just came out last year. And Bloodborne. And you don't need really any other games. Just played like the Dark Souls games and Bloodborne, and maybe pick up like some big releases like Spider-Man.
In Dynasty Warriors Orochi 4, I had to team up with Zeus in order to fight Loki.
That's pretty tight.
Gareth, those games they whip so much ass.
Gareth, do you think the reason that video games are better than all of these other forms of art is because video games don't consider any kind of morality? For example, your Spider-Man game, you're going around the city beating up impoverished citizens that are just trying to get by.
But you're not. You're beating up like the Kingpin's goons and some like possessed demon guys. No, the reason the Spider-Man game is good is because it's like being Spider-Man. That's the same reason the Batman games were cool as hell. This is like exactly what it's like to be Spider-Man every day. You get to walk down the street, you get to high-five people, people take selfies with you, you get to go on the subway, you get to talk to people, and,
Spider-Man, be dressed as Spider-Man. No one's bullying you while you're dressed as Spider-Man. That's a big one.
I know. It's the perfect game. You just get to be Spider-Man all the time. It's great.
I think the big misunderstanding people have is they think that art is smart and needs to be smart to be good because it's supposed to be smart, but it's not. Art is stupid, and it's tight. When it's dumb, I'm dumb.
So we've kind of been talking about things that are, are books and authors that are smart. You know, they're taking heavy concepts, but I don't necessarily know that that's a thing that we need.
No, you've misunderstood. Heavy concepts are tight.
Hmm. Generally, I try to avoid the everyday terror of being alive with things like...
It's fucking lit, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fucking... You're like, oh, shit. Oh, I got that electricity in my spine because I'm terrified.
Yeah, that's why the Dark Souls and Bloodborne games are so good. They're just like, just like being alive. You just get your ass kicked all the time. You're never good enough. everything's dark. It's always raining.
It's like being on a roller coaster or in England all the time.
Yeah, that's why they're so great.
You know, nobody does death metal songs about pugs and how much I enjoy walking my pugs and then maybe eating a nice sandwich afterwards.
They could look into that.
This is the thing.
Death metal bands stop that.
Yeah, this is the thing to work on. I started reading Dune. I don't read fiction ever, but I decided I would finally give it a try. Dune, so far, halfway through, pretty good. That's my hot take on this.
There should be Dune metal.
There should be. There should be more Dune-based metal. Shai Hulud are tight. Both the band and the worm.
Yeah, that's the only band I'm aware of. But I'm sure that there are others. Some kind of Arrakis or Harkonnen and shit. They're out there, probably.
Quasar Tatarak.
Just not in anywhere near the number of Lovecraft or Tolkien bands. So there we go.
Also, Frank Herbert's politics were way better.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Was it, my friend, the Master Lord, kind of spoiled the future books, but isn't the thing that this guy eventually becomes an immortal being that kind of enslaves everybody?
But he's the bad guy when he does that.
Oh, okay.
And he gets killed by the last remaining clone of Duncan Idaho.
Hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
They clone Duncan Idaho a lot, even though he does not want to be cloned even once.
Sort of like the Venture Kids.
There should be Venture Brothers metal.
I agree.
Yeah. And also, everyone should watch the Venture Brothers and do nothing else forever.
It's a perfect show. Gonna be honest. Perfect show.
Jordan, you want to close this one out for us?
Well, I think our guests should tell us where we could find them and where we could listen to their show.
So on Twitter, at DeathSentencePC, PC stands for podcast. Oh. That's not really clear to anyone at all.
No.
I was kind of like thinking it would be like NYHC, but it didn't really pan out.
Podcast now is one word.
Yeah, it is one word.
I know, but there's a portmanteau. It's pod and broadcast.
Yeah, so, but it's still one word.
No one thinks about that. No one sits thinking, yeah, podcast. That was originally two words. That's pod broadcasting. Yeah. Yeah, but now it's one word. No one thinks that.
Okay, fine. I'll try and buy the death sentence thing. It'll probably only cost $100,000. Whatever. And we're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn. I don't know. There's probably a bunch of others. I submit it everywhere. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/deathsentence. We actually got that one. Didn't have to put additional letters onto that. Only two episodes up right now, but they're both good. The most recent one is about Green Lantern and how at one point he arrests God.
Yep, because God loves slavery.
Yeah, so yeah, that was cool, and that's just come up yesterday, and you can give us money. A bunch of people already have, so they're good people. They're worth saving. The rest of humanity is not worth it.
You should join them and give us money.
Do those things. Click all those links so you can hear these lovely boys in your ears more.
And also reviews. We need more reviews, so get on that, humanity.
Oh, yeah, fucking review our show, too, you fucking lazy assholes. Come on.
We've done it. I definitely have.
I mean, I wasn't speaking to you specifically, but to the listening audience.
If oh, right, okay, you. Yeah. People listen at home, don't do shit and don't create things, and just lazy hogs who just like...
They're not podcasters. We're podcasters. Yeah, we're podcasting.
We create, okay?
This is pod racing.
Jordan, what did we learn today?
Don't read, don't make bands with lyrics from H.P. Lovecraft. There needs to be sports metal, and give us money.
Sounds about right. Well,
yep.
I'll leave everybody else to contemplate the horror of your own existence. I'm going to go walk my puggies. See you next week, everybody. If you guys want to say bye, there you go for it.
Oh, okay, bye. Bye, hogs. Good. Bye, scum.
I got a plastic toilet.
What?
Don't put that up. We'll be here for another hour. My wife's already texted me to, like, please look after our son at some point today. Hear about the toilet. It's on the Lord of Chaos episode. That's we're not getting into that. This. No.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.